So indeed, it's a pleasure, my first visit to Fields, and thank you all for being here. It's been a great workshop so far. Let's see, so I'm going to be talking about geometric covering tours. What are geometric covering tours? Well, we all know how to answer that question these days. You ask Google, right? So I Googled geometric covering tours, and this is the first hit. It's interesting. So there's a South African tour group called Geometric Tours, and you can go see tortoises and such. This is exactly what geometric covering tours is about. Not. Okay, so what are we really going to talk about? So we've got, say, a set of points in some geometric space, here the Euclidean plane, and if you want to cover them with a tour, maybe, let's say, the optimal tour, shortest tour or something, this is just the classic geometric TSP problem. Okay, so that's in the class of problems I'm talking about today. But I'm interested in generalizing it. So instead, let's say you want to cover a set of disks. So maybe you want a tour that gets close enough to each one of these points that it can gather data from these sensors that have a certain transmission radius. Or you can think of it as so-called covering imprecise points. That seems to be a hot topic in computational geometry these days. Or a school bus route in which you want to find a route for a school bus, and each kid is expected to be able to walk at least a certain distance. So find a shortest tour that visits a set of disks. And this is something that we call TSP with neighborhoods, in this particular case, circular neighborhoods. More generally, you might be given a set of regions. Maybe they're given to you as convex as simple polygons. In this case, they happen to be disjoint. There could be some line segments, whatever. And this is the TSP with neighborhoods. And this applies in any metric space, in any dimension, really. A special class of this problem that I have been interested in since way back at the beginning is the so-called Watchman root problem, where you want to cover a set of all visibility polygons from every point in a domain. So here's a multiply connected domain. This one has two holes in it. It's a polygon with two holes. I need to be able to see this point. I need to be able to see this point. I need to be able to see that point and that point. In fact, I want to see every point. Therefore, I need to visit every one of the green visibility polygons for every point. So there's a continuum of regions to visit. And there's the constraint that you have to stay within the polygonal domain. So it serves as an obstacle field. And you want to find a shortest tour, perhaps something like this red tour. This is what we call the Watchman root problem. It's been studied since the 80s, actually. I wrote computer codes in 81. To solve a version of the Watchman root problem. It's one of the first computational geometry problems I worked on. A brief taxonomy of these types of problems. For one thing, there's the type of network. Are we looking for a tour? Are we looking for a tree? Are we looking for a path? If we're doing approximation algorithms up to constants in the approximation factors, these are the same, because if I find a shortest tree, I could double it and get a tour and pay a constant factor of 2. What must be covered or visited? Well, it could be just a set of points, it could be a set of regions, it could be a set of visibility polygons, it could be distance truncated visibility regions to model the fact that the watchman may have limited range of distance, sets of points, regions, etc. There's all kinds of things that you might want to cover with these tours or trees or paths. What's the objective function? Well, typically it's minimizing, say, the total length, that say the Euclidean, L1, geodesic. I've looked at all of these problems. We've also looked at bottleneck problems where you're trying to minimize the longest edge length or maximize the shortest edge length. That actually shows up in some applications as well. The number of links, how many turns, because in some robotics applications there's a cost associated with making each turn. Adding Steiner points, if you allow Steiner points to be added for Steiner trees, etc. The total amount of turning, because maybe you have integrated cost of turning angle theta. The number of reflex vertices, I've looked at reflexivity problems, and many other functions. So, I mean, we've generalized, I mean, there have been just literally hundreds of papers in computational geometry over decades on optimal tour and coverage problems. So to have something nearly convex. So a tour, in fact, I will mention the problem today of finding a purely convex tour that covers a set of regions. Other constraints, you may have obstacles in the way, you may have link lengths, that you each segment of the tour or path is of length at most something, or at least something. The order of visitation might be partially or totally specified for the regions that you're visiting. You may require the tours or paths to have convexity properties. We're looking at problems with time windows, vehicle routing problems, where you have to visit certain regions within certain windows of time in order to accomplish the task you set out to do. Separate certain pairs of points. There could be vehicle capacities. It just goes on and on and on. And of course, there's online versus offline. By online, I mean you might be a robot that's only discovering properties of the environment as you go. Or maybe you're only discovering the constraints or the points that you need to visit as you go. I'm primarily today going to talk about the offline problem. So I have a map of the region. I know what I need to do, and I try to plan it in advance. So I'm going to introduce the problem, talk about TSP with neighborhoods, which is one class of these problems. A special case of TSP with neighborhoods is the watchman route problem. Time permitting, I'll mention some of these other applications, but I suspect I have more slides than I have time for. So the TSP with neighborhoods, again, I give you a set of regions here. I am showing that there can be some overlap, there can be points, segments, etc. This is a 2D version, but of course we're interested in other dimensions as well. Find a shortest tour that visits these regions. You can, of course, come up with local optimality properties, like if you reflect off of an edge, then angle of incidence equals angle of reflection, etc. So you can imagine sort of what the local optimality conditions are, and you'd like to find such tours or possibly a tree or a path that visits a set of regions. So a little bit of background on it. First of all, since it does generalize just the standard Euclidean TSP, which my advisor Christos Papadimitriou proved was NP-hard, this problem is obviously NP-hard as well. So we're interested primarily in approximation algorithms, and that's what Arkin and Hassin set out to study in the early 90s. They introduced the problem and gave the first algorithmic results. First, they proved that obvious heuristics don't necessarily work. So if you take, for instance, the centroids of the regions and say, well, I'll just compute an approximate TSP on the centroids, that can be arbitrarily bad with respect to opt. Of course, if you could pick the right representative points, if you could read the mind of the optimal tour and know what point to visit, then that works. But a priori methods of picking representative points didn't seem to work. Greedy algorithms, if you can generalize prim or Kruskal type algorithm to look for a spanning tree. They give examples where those can be arbitrarily bad. And they give constant factor approximations that run very efficiently for nice regions. They looked at parallel unit segments in the plane, unit disks in the plane that possibly overlap, and translates of a single polygon. And they had a combination lemma where they could put different classes of objects together and pay not too much. So constant factor approximations for some special cases. Now, I got interested in this because I was working on TSP approximations for points, and my hope was that maybe because we can approximate TSP on points pretty well, in fact, we now have n log n methods that give a PTAS, a polynomial time approximation scheme. We can get within 1 plus epsilon times opt for any positive epsilon for TSP on points. Maybe we can do the same for TSP with neighborhoods. And to some extent, we can. So the most general result is some work that I did with my student Christian Mata in the mid-90s as well. We introduced these guillotine rectangular subdivisions, also known as binary space partitions, that you can optimize using dynamic programming. And for K regions having a total of N vertices, we can find a log of K factor approximation algorithm in N to the fifth time. It was since reduced the running time using some similar techniques by Gudmundsen and Levkopoulos. Now, constant factor approximation, so that's for the general case. The regions have to be connected, but they can overlap arbitrarily, That's in the plane. And they don't have to be fat or convex or anything like that. Going back to Arkin and Hassin's results, there are constant factor approximations for their special cases. With Adrian Dumitrescu, we had a SOTA paper where we looked at connected regions of comparable size. So if the ratio of the largest diameter to the smallest diameter is bounded by a constant, then you can get a constant factor approximation in general. If you have fat regions, and there's a variety of definitions of fat, I won't go into their particular definition, but if you have disjoint fat regions and they can be of arbitrary size, so there's no bounded ratio between the largest and the smallest, then this group of authors gave a constant factor approximation using computational geometry techniques. And that's been generalized by El Bassiani et al. And again, these are dealing with fatness. So they are using packing arguments in order to achieve these results. That's where fatness comes in. Now, in a sausage paper last year, I showed the most general version of this, that if you have arbitrary disjoint connected regions, they can be arbitrarily skinny, arbitrary sizes, etc., then you have a constant factor approximation. They do have to be either disjoint or be nearly disjoint in a precise way, like no point lies in more than a constant number of regions, that kind of thing. In terms of getting arbitrarily close to optimal, PTAS, 1 plus epsilon approximation, again, in that SOTA paper with Adrian, we had a PTAS, if you have disjoint or nearly disjoint fat regions of comparable size. And this was improved in a more recent SOTA paper of mine, where if you have disjoint or nearly disjoint fat regions of arbitrary sizes, so got around the issue there. And here I'm using a weak notion of fatness, just that the area of each region is omega of diameter squared. Okay. And again, there's been generalizations of this, including a quasi-polynomial time approximation scheme, a randomized one by Chan and El Bassiani, that works in higher dimensions as well, using Aurora's techniques. APX hardness. So there are some cases where we can't hope to get a PTAS because there's lower bounds on approximation. So this group of authors that gave the constant factor for disjoint convex also gave a hardness of approximation that was further improved by Safra and Schwartz. And in fact, even for line segments of comparable length, where they're all between length 1 and 1 plus epsilon, you can't get a PTAS. Now, that does rely on them intersecting arbitrarily. So it may be that for disjoint regions, you can get a PTAS. I'll say more about that later. And Moshe Dror and Jim Orlin also showed that if you have pairs of points in the plane, so that now this is an instance of disconnected regions. So each region is a pair of points, and you're allowed to visit either of the two points, then you can't hope to get a PTAS there, or it's highly unlikely. What about exact solutions to special cases? So a natural version of TSP with neighborhoods. Let's say the neighborhoods are infinite straight lines in the plane, then the optimal tour is easily seen to be a convex polygon. Again, its vertices will reflect off of certain lines, so angle in equals angle out. There's some lines that you simply cross, like these. And this problem has a lot of structure, so we suspect that there's perhaps very efficient ways to solve it. I mean, it's a beautifully convex optimization problem. However, the only exact algorithm I know of is based on using a much more complicated algorithm that we have for Watchman roots in simple polygons. And how do I convert this to a simple polygon? I put a big box around the all that's large enough to include all the crossing points in the arrangement of lines. And then wherever a line sticks out of the box, I make a very skinny spike. We call that the spike box. And then you can easily convince yourself that what you're trying to do is find a tour that sees the entire spike box. And in order to see the entire spike box, you have to visit all the lines. So the two problems are equivalent. And the spike box is a simple polygon. We throw this big sledgehammer at it, which is a complicated algorithm, and we solve it exactly. But that's not very satisfying. I'd really like to have a simple, fast, linear, near linear time algorithm to solve this. And I also wonder, are there other cases of TSP with neighborhoods that are exactly solvable in polynomial time? This is my only example, really, at the moment. The other interesting question is, what happens when you go to three or more dimensions? If you consider the natural generalization of this, well, in 3D, you could either consider lines in 3D that you need to visit. That's easily seen to be NP-hard, and just take lines that are all perpendicular to the XY plane, and it's an instance of 2D TSP. But if I give you planes in 3D, N planes in 3D, I don't know the computational complexity of visiting a set of planes with a shortest tour. Is that NP hard? We don't know. We do have a p-test in some work with Eric Demain and SD Arkin. We do have a p-test for that case, but we don't know if it's hard yet or not. Now, you know, I have some favorite techniques that work for a lot of optimal tour problems in the plane or higher dimensions. And one of the difficulties, though, of applying traditional TSP methods to TSP with neighborhoods or minimum spanning tree with neighborhoods is the following. These recursive optimization methods like Sanjeev Arora and I have for obtaining p-tasses typically have subproblems that are being solved by dynamic programming. These subproblems are defined by some simple shape like a box, a rectangle, or something. And you're trying to recursively optimize what's going on inside, ignoring what's going on outside. And the interface between the outside and the inside has a small complexity that can be specified in the specification of the subproblem in the dynamic program. So, in my method, there's these bridges, at most one bridge on each side, and you can assume that those are known. The difficulty is that in the case of points, if these were points, you know exactly which points you need to visit in this subproblem. The subproblem is responsible for visiting all the points that are in the box. Fine. But if you have regions, they can straddle the boundary, and there can be many of them. And you can't afford to specify, oh, this region is going to be visited outside the subproblem. This one has to be visited inside, etc. So all these regions that cross the boundary of your subproblem, you have to somehow get a handle on those. And in my SOTA paper, I was able to get a handle on those using packing arguments by looking at bridging some of these and charging off those bridges to the length of an optimal tour using a packing argument. But I was crucially relying on area arguments, you know, sort of the fatness of these regions. So when these regions are skinny, those methods go out the window. However, when you have some fatness, I can apply these techniques and get p-tasses. Well, so a fat convex body, you know, you can just say it's the aspect ratio or the inscribed versus the circumscribing radius have a bounded ratio. For my packing argument to work, all I need is an area argument. And that's why all I need is that the area of each region is omega of its diameter squared. So it's a very weak notion of fatness. There are many other notions of fatness in computational geometry for both convex and non-convex shapes. But I just need the area. So here's sort of a snapshot of some of our understanding of the approximation factors for these. I've broken it into fat, the left column, and non-fat. So skinny things, think of those as line segments. Fat things, think of them as disks. I also break it into comparable size, like they're all about the same length or same diameter, or arbitrary size, arbitrary ratio between largest and smallest. And within each box, I split between disjoint and non-disjoint. And this was sort of the state of our approximation factors until somewhat recently. For the disjoint, fat, comparable size, we had p-tasses. But we now also, because of the SOTA paper, have for arbitrary size, disjoint, fat. And some of the newest results that I'll give some hints about First of all, if they overlap, we can also give PTASs for the comparable size. I think that's also going to apply for the arbitrary size, but that's still in a state of being written. A constant factor, for sure, I know, if you have non-disjoint arbitrary size fat. So fatness buys us a lot. Now, what happens when it's not fat? Well, there's constant factor for the original work of Arkin and Hassin. We know APX hardness in general, if they overlap. And the sausage paper that I had last year, if they're disjoint or nearly disjoint, arbitrary size, not fat, then the log factor's been improved to constant factor. But if they arbitrarily overlap, it's still a log factor, although I have some hope that I can now do that in constant factor as well. So in fact, my conjecture is that everything here is constant factor. In fact, some of these may have PTASs, and everything here for sure should have a PTAS. So the recent result that was in sausage is a constant factor approximation for arbitrary connected regions in the plane, as long as they're disjoint or sufficiently disjoint for certain arguments to work. It also applies to non-disjoint convex regions. So convexity is enough for me to get around the disjointness. And previously, there were log factors here. There's also a reduction theorem, which says that if you have a C approximation for fat-connected regions, implies an order C approximation for arbitrary regions. So there's a method of going between arbitrary regions and fat regions, and there's a little lemma I'll mention for that. So this hopefully is a stepping stone to the ultimate bound. And here's that little lemma. It says that each region, which might be arbitrarily skinny, can be replaced by what I call its directional hulls, either in the XY plane or in the X prime Y prime. So this is rotated by 45 degrees. And what do I mean by these directional hulls? Put the bounding box around this thing and imagine illuminating it from the right or from the left or from above or from below. And the profiles that you get, these are these directional hulls of what's not seen because of this object inside of its bounding box. These are the directional hulls. And it turns out that it suffices to visit, because of a property of my particular network, it suffices, if you visit the directional hulls, then you will necessarily visit the object itself, the region itself. And my goal is to use the fat results to deal with the skinny ones. And the cute little lemma is that either for any region in the plane, any connected set in the plane, either all four of its blue hulls, blue is with respect to the standard XY plane axes, or all four of its red hulls, which are the rotated by 45 degrees, you can't escape fatness in one of those two coordinate systems. That's the intuition. And it's not too hard to prove. And again, my definition of fatness is the area is omega of diameter squared. So once I have that, I'm going to use that as a tool. So I first take all my regions, some of which may be skinny, and I create these fat directional hulls. So there's the blue type and the red type. And I'll separately solve the two and then merge the results. Select a disjoint set of these fat hulls. And I do them greedily. So now, even if the original regions weren't overlapping, once I do these directional hulls, they might be. So they look something like this. And I select them according to their diameters from smallest to largest. So I just add. So I add this guy, and then I rule out anyone that's intersecting him. I pick the next smallest, the next smallest, the next smallest. So I'm finding an independent set greedily from smallest to largest. There's one. And there's one. And now that's a maximal set built up in this greedy form of disjoint convex fat regions. And now because they're disjoint and fat, I can apply an approximation method that we already know. In fact, I have a PTAS that will visit these. And so we'll have a tour on those guys. And if we're lucky, maybe this tour actually visits all of the other guys that were not part of that set. But we have to allow for the fact, which I guess doesn't happen in this particular figure, but I could have easily put another body in here that's missed by this tour. And so I do have to visit the rest of them. So what do? I take the yellow tour, I convert it to be rectilinear for convenience. That costs me a root 2 approximation factor. I surround it by its bounding box, and then I do something called the histogram decomposition. And this histogram decomposition adds these extra green edges and decomposes this into a set of histograms. For instance, this one, this region right here, is a histogram whose base is this right edge here. So it's a leftward horizontal histogram. Now these histograms look like this. So here's the base of the histogram. And so this particular face in this decomposition, so I've added these other edges, and there's a simple lemma that this costs only a constant factor, in fact, a factor of 2. You can easily charge off these lengths to the original white edges by just sort of going orthogonal to each green edge. So I can afford to have all of those edges in my network. But now I've got a situation that here's one of those faces. I still have some unvisited regions that are floating inside. But there's the following lemma. Any region that is not yet visited by my network, so it's not touched yet by the boundary of this face, so it floats inside. I call these floaters. It has to be close to the boundary of the face that contains it. Close meaning within order of its diameter. So if you look at this small guy here, you can't have a tiny guy floating in the middle, and that turns out to be very important. Why can't you have a tiny guy floating in the middle? Because of the greedy selection. When I selected them in increasing according to increasing diameter, and the reason that this guy got ruled out is because there was somebody of slightly smaller size that got picked and was put into the set that is now visited by my tour. So within distance comparable to his diameter, the tour must visit. Okay, so that's the picture illustrating that. So now what I have is I have a new problem for histograms. And in this histogram, I need to find some way to connect the floaters to the boundary. So I want a minimum weight forest that joins all these floaters to the boundary with the property that each floater is within order of its diameter of the boundary. So that's a new subproblem, a new optimization problem there. Find this magenta optimal spanning forest. And the way I solve that is I'm going to take advantage of the special structure of these floaters. I build a stratified grid. So I put, say, squares of size delta around the boundary, and then 2 delta, and then 4 delta, and then 8 delta, and as I go inwards. And so each one of these tiles in this stratified grid is within order of his size of the boundary. Okay? And in this problem, it turns out to be sufficient to just think of it as a set cover problem. Find an optimal set of squares, and each square, the weight of the square is its size, so that you hit all of the floaters. And the thing is that if you use, say, this square to hit a floater, because of the summation of the geometric series, so next to him is somebody of half his size, next to him is somebody half his size, dot, 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 until you get to the boundary, you know that if you can hit all of the regions with these squares, then in comparable length, you can attach each of them to the boundaries and build your forest that way. So it really is a special form of set cover. Now, of course, set cover is a hard problem to solve, so I'm going to exploit some more special structure here. So first of all, there's a lower bound that says opt is at least a constant times the total size of all grid cells that intersect the set of floaters. And secondly, I'm going to use a dynamic programming algorithm to solve this special form of min-weight covering of grid cells that intersect all of these floaters. There's a related coverage problem that has very similar structure that I want to use to motivate this. If I give you a set of line segments in the plane, and I give you a set of downward rays, these yellow rays, and my goal is to pick the fewest rays to stab all of the segments, that's a set cover problem. But this one has enough special structure that it has a dynamic programming exact solution to it. We can find a minimum cardinality set of downward rays to stab a set of disjoint segments in the plane. Okay. Essentially, that method generalizes to my stratified grid. I won't go into the details here. Open problems. So a constant factor approximation for arbitrary connected regions that may arbitrarily overlap. That's what I mean. I do believe that I can do that now. I'm not prepared to present that, but that's still officially an open problem. This one I really have no idea about. If I have disjoint connected regions in the plane and I want to visit them, it's conceivable that there's a PTAS. The APX hardness results seem to rely on overlap, although I've been trying to prove APX hardness for the disjoint case as well. Now, if they're disjoint in fat, then I do have a PTAS, but if they're just arbitrary disjoint, we don't know. For disconnected regions, like sets of points or something, it's APX hard by Jim Orlin and Moshe Dror's result, even for pairs of points in the plane, but conceivably there's a constant factor approximation for this so-called generalized or class or group TSP or Steiner tree problem. It's also known as the one of a set TSP, which in graphs, this is very hard to approximate. In fact, it has log factor lower bounds, but geometry may help you there, and that's what I hope. I'm also looking at problems where you have obstacles in the way. It seems that if you have obstacles and you measure everything in geodesic, shortest path metric among obstacles, that these problems become log factor hard. In fact, I'll give one reduction in a moment. That's what I say here. So we're hoping that you can get a log factor approximation to match the log factor hardness result. And then the big challenge remains in higher dimensions. With Eric and Esty, we've looked at some of these cases of lines and planes. And we've also looked in dimension D. So for any fixed dimension, we can visit a set of hyperplanes with a PTAS. But if you look at more general regions, even in 3D, it's easy to get a log factor lower bound for approximability, and we hope that we can give a polylog approximation for the general case. The general case shows up in some other interesting problems I want to get a chance to mention here in a moment. Another direction we've looked at recently is convex covering tours. Last month in WADS, we presented a paper about this. Given a set of regions in the plane, decide whether or not there exists a convex stabber. Is there a convex curve that visits a set of regions in the plane, or convex transversal? This problem was posed on Friday the 13th in 1987 by Arik Tamir at the NYU Geometry Day, and a special case of parallel line segments was solved using dynamic programming by Mike Goodrich and Jack Snowyink a little while later. But the general problem remained open, and what we've, I should mention a related problem that David Rappaport's been looking at and obtaining several nice partial results for quite some time, and that is if you consider coverage to include consider the convex body that you're looking for to be a solid, and so this convex body touches or visits this body. So the way I'm viewing it for the stabbing case, the boundary of the convex body has to stab everything, whereas in his case, it's okay to cover with the interior of the body. Also an interesting problem, also open whether it's NP hard or not to decide. So for the convex covering tours, we settle Arik Tamir's original question from 87, deciding the existence is NP complete in general. But that construction relies on the objects being overlapping, intersecting. So if they're disjoint or if they form a set of, it should be convex pseudo-disks, then we apply a dynamic programming type algorithm to decide. Now there is a little glitch here, and that is that we are assuming for the positive result that there's a candidate set of corners that will be the vertices of the tour that you're looking for. If you if you don't give me a discrete set of candidate corners, then we're still not sure. We have some partial results there, but that problem is still open. Furthermore, in 3D, it's NP-complete even for disjoint disks to decide if there's a convex stabber for a set of regions. And it's hard even for terrains. So by a terrain, I mean that there's sort of a convex mountain. It's a function. So in 2D, you're looking for, I guess this would be a concave function, as I've drawn it, visiting a set of regions. And we use some of these to define some and compute some convexity measures. Okay, we talked about TSP with neighborhoods, and of course part of the difficulty of TSP is that I haven't given you the order in which you're to visit the cities or the regions. What if I actually give you the order? So I want to find a shortest path or tour or tree or something. Well, tree, you have to specify what you mean by what the order is, but let's say a path. And you have to first visit this region, then this one, then that one, then that one, and then finally make it to T. Or maybe there's no T specified. So this is what we call the Turing polygons problem. If the regions are convex, it turns out to be polynomial time. If you give me a sequence of convex regions in the plane, they can overlap as well. It's polynomially solvable. And this is with Moshe Dror, Alon Efrat, Anna Lubu, and myself. If the regions are non-convex, and they are allowed to overlap, we give a hardness proof. And it's very similar to proving hardness of finding shortest paths among obstacles in three-dimensional space. In fact, you can view this problem as a 3D problem. This image doesn't render very well in this color. But imagine that you have plates of steel that are stacked. And on each plate, you have, on the first plate, you have a hole in the shape of polygon P1. The next plate, P2, the next plate, P3, et cetera. So this shortest path visiting a sequence of regions, labeled regions in the plane, is the same as finding a path from point S that's behind the first plate to a point T that's in front of the last plate. And it has to thread its way through the holes in the given order. So it really is, so think of it as a stack of sheets of metal that are very thin, and you want a shortest path in 3D. And that shortest paths in 3D are, in general, NP-hard. It turns out that if these holes are convex, this is actually polynomially solvable. Now, the open question here, because our hardness relies on overlapping regions and non-convex, if the regions are non-convex but disjoint, conceivably it can be solved. I'm at odds with my co-authors on whether that can be done in polynomial time. I suspect that that's hard. But here's another cute problem that we stumbled upon in thinking about this. What if I give you a sequence of points in the plane? So TSP for a set of points in the plane is a hard problem. But what if I give you the order? You have to visit city 1, then 2, then 3, then 4. Find the shortest simple path that visits cities in a given order. Okay, key word there is the word simple that I snuck in there. Of course, if you just say go from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4, et cetera, then I could just go with a walk, you know, going to each new city with a straight segment. But if I insist that it not self-intersect, then after I've gone from 1 to 2 to 3, then I have to go around my path somehow, maybe around this way or that way, and I have decisions that I have to make as far as how I'm going to route this thing to visit the cities in the given order. And we don't know the complexity of this problem. So it seems like a very natural combinatorial optimization problem for points in the plane. It's very related to TSP, it seems, but we don't know the hardness of it. We know hardness of some very related problems that Chandor Fekete has shown hard. But we have no approximations, and we have no hardness result. So. Yeah, thanks to an observation of yours and Peter Shores. This comes from the Bob Conley wire routing problem. So that's the related problem. Yeah, let me go back and say something about it. So you should recognize this. So this actually emerged in our first meeting back in the mid-80s, Bob. So I give you pairs of points that have to be connected by wires, and the wires are not allowed to cross each other. And Bob had posed this problem in Santa Cruz in 86. at the computational geometry, that first workshop, of finding, say, the shortest. Actually, I think you phrased it in terms of a min-max. So you wanted to control the length of the longest wire, and the wires were not allowed to intersect. So that's the class of related problems that Chandor Fekete and one of his students have proven NP-hard. So there is a hardness proof for that question. And we think this is related, but Chandor hasn't been able to modify his rather complicated proof for this case, so we're not sure. Okay, so if you have a sequence of regions that you have to visit in a given order, this Turing regions problem turns out that if the regions are convex in any fixed dimension, we are solving it using the Sadumi package. It's a second-order cone program, and you can get provable approximations for this case, and we actually did computational experiments to show that this works well. And we could incorporate various distance constraints on the links and so on. There are some related problems in computational geometry that date way back to the early days. I think Godfrey Toussaint was probably the one who named the Safari problem. Given a simple polygon with convex cages attached to the boundary, find a shortest tour for a person who needs to visit all the regions. It turns out that because of the special structure of this, you know the order in which to visit them, the same order as they appear around the boundary of the simple polygon. And this is allowing the tour to go through the region, so you're on a safari. If instead you're in a zoo, there are cages, and you don't want to go in the lion's cage, so you want to touch every one of those regions, but not enter it, okay? And that's the zookeeper problem. And these problems have polynomial time solutions using our techniques, gives more efficient solutions than were previously known for these. So these are polynomially solvable in this special case that you have this simple polygon, because it gives you the order in which to visit these regions. Now to get to the watchman root problem. So you're a watchman that needs to patrol the building and see every point, okay? So here the building is a simple polygon, and this tour that you're trying to build has to visit every one of these so-called essential cuts. You can come up with a partial order on so-called essential cuts. These are extensions of edges of the simple polygon that come about because, for instance, this point has a visibility polygon shown here in green that must be visited. So you must visit the boundary of this. You must at least touch the boundary, if not cross it. And so you can come up with a system of so-called essential cuts, the non-dominated essential cuts, and you must visit those. And originally there was a publication in the late 80s by Chin and Daphos that claimed a polynomial time algorithm for simple polygons. Unfortunately, many years later, a bug was found. The number of local moves, these slide moves that were being done, could end up being exponential. And then that was fixed, and that was published, and then someone found a mistake in that, and their fix was published, but unfortunately it had an error, so there was a sequence of four papers that were incorrect until finally the two groups, the Swedes and the Japanese, were finally agreed that it had been solved, and then we came up with an alternate one, so we've now increased the probability that there's a solution that works, because our solution for a simple polygon gives currently the most efficient solution for finding the watchman root. This one actually is the anchored one, where you have one point that you know you go through. If the unanchored, it's n to the 4 log n. So it's not a particularly simple algorithm. I'd love to get something much, much more efficient. The watchman root is, of course, an instance of TSP with neighborhoods, as I mentioned early on, because you need to visit the visibility polygons of each and every point in the region. So if it's a simple polygon, it's easy. If it's a polygon with holes, it's obviously NP-hard, because you could take an instance of Euclidean TSP, put a tiny little spiral obstacle around each city, put it all inside a giant box, and you have a multiply connected domain. And to see everything, you have to visit every city or get close enough to every city. But there's no approximation algorithm known in general. Well, I'm about to tell you that there is one. In the special case of rectilinear visibility, where you look up, down, left, right, there's a log factor in this 95 sausage paper I had with Christian Mata. So the more recent progress, and what I hope is going to appear in a paper later this year, is that, so first of all, there's a p-TAS for some fat obstacle cases. I'll mention those in a moment. There's a lower bound of approximation, a log factor, that comes from set cover. And there's an upper bound of a log factor, initially with just this so-called bounded perimeter assumption. I'll tell you what that means in a moment. But what I what I'm almost prepared to claim is that that this applies to the general case. What I am prepared to claim is that there's a log squared for the general case. So at worst, there's a gap between log and log squared, but I believe that it's tight at log. And I'm very interested in the 3D version of Watchman, and I'll mention a couple of special cases of that. Again, with SD Arc and Eric and Marty Demain, Shandor Fekete, we've been looking at some of these higher dimensional problems. So this question is really potentially addressed by the new result, and we're very interested in patrolling a terrain surface, a 2.5-dimensional, say, polyhedral terrain. And I don't know how to generalize our results to that yet. So here's a special case of Watchman. Now, the domain here is a multiply, so this is a polygon with holes. The domain consists of long, infinite corridors. So this is a very strange building. It has these infinitely long corridors that meet at crossing points, and this is called a line arrangement. So the domain is the union of the lines. It's a multiply connected domain. Find a shortest tour that sees everything. Of course, to see everything along a line, if you have infinite visibility, all you have to do is visit the line. Just visit any point on the line. And so you might end up with a tour that looks something like this. So this tour goes over there, comes back, comes down here, goes over there. So this is perhaps a shortest tour for this set of lines. Adrian Dumitrescu and co-author this year gave a 3 approximation and then a more refined 2 approximation for this. And what I observed was that there's an exact polynomial time algorithm based on dynamic programming to search for the convex hull of such a thing. So this is, in some sense, a second instance of an exactly solvable TSP with neighborhoods version, but it's in the Watchman context. Other versions. So Frank Wagner posed years ago what we've come to call Frank's problem of, given a planar straight line graph connected, let's say, in the plane, that's your domain. And so it's, again, skinny corridors. Find a shortest tour in this embedded graph in order to see everything. And if you visit any point along this straight corridor, you'll see the whole thing. This problem is NP-hard. That's easy to show. And it's also easy to see that it has a polylog approximation, just viewing it as a so-called one-of-a-set TSP on a graph. And it gives you approximation factors that look like this, and special cases give you constant factors if you have some restrictions on the corridors. And SD Arkin and Rafi Hassin and Magnus Holderson looked at this connected vertex cover problem, which applies here if you have no straight corridors. So if there's no two edges incident on a vertex that are accidentally collinear, then their algorithm gives a constant factor approximation to this. Now, I claim that it's got a log factor hardness of approximation. It comes from set cover. So I have these teeth of length of a long length L. This distance here is small. Collapse that. That's epsilon. And this distance between these is very, very small. So small that all these crossing points are very, very close to these crossing points. And the way to think of this is that you have these parallel hallways, and you have to select which ones of these to go and stand here so that you can look down the long skinny corridors and see all of these elements. So these are the elements in your set cover are these crossing points, and these ends are the sets that you're going to pick, and from one of these ends of one of these straight parallel corridors, you have lines going through the corresponding elements in that set. Now, if you zoom in on that crossing point, there's a little obstacle there, and that means that in order to see everything, you need to look at it from down here. Now, in order to see the rest of these corridors that you may not be visiting down here, after you pick which ones to visit, you go up here and make this short epsilon length leg up there, and that sees down all these corridors, and that sees the tops of each of these triangles, but doesn't see the bottoms. So you're still forced to pick the right subsets, and this is approximation preserving, so you can cover with K sets all of the elements if and only if there's a Watchman tour that's approximately K times L in length. So that's a hardness of approximation. Shows it's as hard as set cover to do the Watchman route. Now, the log factor approximation algorithm that I have uses this so-called bounded perimeter assumption in general. And that just says that the perimeter of each visibility polygon of every point P is order of the diameter of that visibility polygon. And I need that for a technical reason within the framework in which I solve this. It is satisfied, for instance, if you have bounded degree planar straight line graphs. If there's bounded degree there, then that holds. I'm not going to go through the details of this. It's similar to the TSP with neighborhoods method, where you build up a set of separated or disjoint regions. I call them, but I need them to be well separated so I can compute an approximately optimal tour of those regions. And then I end up with a stratified grid problem. Again, it gets more complicated because now I'm not working in the Euclidean metric. I'm working in the geodesic metric because I have obstacles that are obstructing things. And so I have to generalize that to the geodesic metric. And that's all I wanted to say about that. I hope that I'll be giving a slightly different approach that gives a log factor in the general case. And so maybe this becomes out of date. What about the special case that I've been discussing with a few of you over the last couple of days of being able to watch the outside of a single body, a single convex body? Now, this is sort of a classic problem. Some have called it the sailor in the fog problem. This is a paper of Timothy Chan et al. There was a sausage video in 2003. Sailor rows out a mile to sea, and then the fog comes in, and he's not sure which direction is the shore. He knows he's exactly a mile from a long straight shore. What should his path be in order to minimize the distance until he's certain to hit the shore? And this turns out to be a solution that was given by Isbell in 1957, appropriately in the Naval Research Logistics Quarterly, since it's the sailor problem. This image comes from Zalgeler's write-up about these kinds of problems. So you want to visit each of these lines at distance one. There he is, and he's not sure where the shore is. And turns out the thing to do is to go straight a certain distance and then go around. It's as if you're looking for a tour around to view the outside of this circular disk. So you stand here, and you want to go out and around to visit that point. And of course, this is a tangency that just touches that point and that point. And so this is the optimal solution. In fact, there are these three versions that Zalgeler gives in this 2005 paper about shortest inspection curves for the sphere. So this is a 2D sphere. You can have a shortest tour for a watchman to see. So this is like an obstacle, and you want to view everything on the surface of this planet or something. And either you have to start and end on the surface of the planet, so you fly up to this altitude, and then you go around and come down, or you just have to start on the surface, and you don't care where you end, or, again, you don't care where you start or end. 3D. What if you want to view a planet? This is sometimes called the asteroid avoidance asteroid surveillance problem. And this again was Timothy Chan's, and there's a cute video if you want to see this that's on the web. So they came up with a short path of length 11.08. This is a unit disk in 3D, and there's a straight segment, and then there's this spiral, and then another straight segment, and that's an image from their paper. And they basically optimize this form of a search path. And by computer search, they found these parameters, and that gave them this length. And if you look at Zaugeler's paper, hand-drawn figures, by the way, so this is a spiral-like path that he describes precisely, and it has slightly better length. Now, it lies at a constant altitude, root 2 minus 1, above the... that's the altitude above the surface of the sphere. And its length is a little bit better than the one that was found by the other technique. What if it's not a path, but a cycle? You want a shortest cycle that sees a sphere. The conjectured, or the best that we know of, is this so-called baseball stitch curve. Here's baseball. I mean, it's not exactly right. So these are three semicircles on the surface of a cube that is surrounding the sphere. And this is in discussions with Joe O'Rourke and some of the colleagues that he was discussing this with as well. We were talking about this at the Spanish meeting in computational geometry. And this is currently, so this is of length 4 pi, and we don't know of a better closed cycle to view the outside of a sphere. So if you have a single obstacle that's, say, a convex polytope in 3D, there's two models that we consider. What if you're a bug that's crawling on the surface? So to see a facet, it suffices to visit the facet, either at a vertex, an edge, or whatever. Or what if you're allowed to fly? That you're on a spaceship. Or maybe you're required to stay within a given altitude. So for these problems, we actually have exact solutions for some special cases. We've started by looking at the Platonic solids. And we have, using the techniques that Esty and Eric and Marty and I had, we have PTAS for the general case of viewing a single polytope. What if you have multiple obstacles? Well, that's a Watchman in a multiply connected domain. If the obstacles are fat and you have limited view distance, and let's say that you're a robot of certain radius, where the ratio between your radius and your view distance is considered constant, then my M guillotine methods give PTASs in this case. So here's the way I like to view the problem, and I call it how to see the forest for the trees. So the tree trunks are the disks, and so you're looking for your lost child in the forest or something. So you want to find a tour that sees everything. And so this is now an algorithmic problem. And it's easy to see it's NP hard, again, from TSP. It's a Watchman root in a multiply connected domain, but it's a special kind of multiply connected domain. In particular, you're a robot of a certain radius, and you can only see a certain distance. So in this model, that's one possible assumption. The other assumption for which I get a PTAS is if it's dense enough. So let's say it's a saturated or maximal packing. You can't add any more disks within this forest. So here's a point you can see whatever distance you want. But because of my so-called dark forest conjecture, which was that there is a constant radius disk that has a saturated packing of unit disks, the conjecture is that there is an R such that any saturated packing has a dark point. And a dark point P means a point whose visibility stays within the forest. You cannot see out. So the conjecture is that for large enough R, there is a dark point. And it was recently shown it's related to the Polya's orchard problem or Olber's paradox, if you know about those problems. So it actually goes way back. This has to do with why the sky is dark. But this is my dark forest conjecture. And it was recently proven that R is, in fact, less than a constant. And that's by Dumitrescu and Zhang. Unfortunately, the bound they gave, I conjectured R was at most 10. And they proved 2 times 10 to the 108. Now, the reason I bring this up is that the running time of my algorithm is n to the order r. So this is perhaps the most embarrassingly slow polynomial time algorithm ever put to paper. So that's the exponent bound. I think it's much less. I think r should be at most 10. Yeah, so this was my last slide. So perfect timing. So the other related problem, if you're a watchman with a bounded radius of vision, then it's like you're a lawnmower blade and you're trying to sweep a region on a shortest tour. And every time I mow my grass, I time myself and I see, and I'm down to 42 minutes and 7 seconds. So that's one of the practical applications of these problems. Thank you very much. I was watching the clock, but yeah.
We do have time for questions. So it's okay. It's a long coffee break.
So I'm hoping somebody will come up with solutions to these, how to view. I should mention that a single planet, we don't know how to do, but also two planets. In 2D, we now know how to do. Three planets. I mean, so there's all kinds of interesting special cases, like if you have a lattice packing of disks, what do optimal tours look like and things like that. So there's some fun little problems.
Well, I'm a rower myself. I like to row.
Uh-huh.
Not necessarily in a foggy environment.
Okay.
There's a strong current around Montreal, the St. Lawrence River. And every time I'm in the boat, I have to row across, and there's a current, but it increases in strength as you row across.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I'm in the boat, I think, I wonder which angle I should row
in order to
minimize the time to get to the other side.
Yeah.
But I'm always rowing, and of course I don't have pencil and paper.
All right.
Because I want to go home, I'll work this one out. But I never have. I just wondered if...
So there actually are papers by people in the Navy and others that have looked at these ship sailing problems. In fact, I'm working with a PhD student now who has worked on a naval contract with Raytheon, who's done these motion planning problems for ships at sea, where they actually have the data of the currents or estimates of what the currents are, and they try to plan all of these kinds of routes in the presence of currents. And of course, if you do some of these problems for air traffic, and some of you know I work in air traffic management problems, we're constantly taking into account the wind fields. So we're doing wind optimization. So that changes the nature of these pure, nice Euclidean type problems, but that's the practical nature of it, yeah. Well, that's, of course, related to his question. Once you put non-holonomic constraints on a path, it becomes really hard. I mean, I'm not sure. We're having enough difficulty without those constraints for these tour problems. The path problems have been looked at much more. So I can refer you to some work of John Reif, of course, and John Canny. Bruce Donald has worked on the non-holonomic constraint problem as well. But if you combine that with the combinatorial optimization aspects of the problems I'm talking about here, then it's only going to get more difficult. Other questions?
So.
Thank you very much.